Hey, if you have a Bible, turn with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, and we're just going to jump right in into God's Word today. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, listen to his sermon. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, this word repent means when you realize your choices, your decisions, your path that you're on is wrong, and you turn to God. With his help, you turn back, and you begin to go the direction of God. That's what this message of repent is all about. And John's, he's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Look at this, verse 5. It says that these people are the Jewish people living in Jerusalem. They went out to see him in this wilderness area. They came from all over Judea and the region to come to the Jordan. And when they arrived there, they confessed their sins. They're admitting, we've been on a wrong path. We're turning back to God. They confessed their sins and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now here's where it gets good. Verse 13, it said that Jesus, God's son, he came from Galilee to the Jordan and he came to be baptized by John. Now you might not know this, but John is the older cousin to Jesus. John, in this moment, he knows who Jesus is, yet John says, I can't baptize you. He says, I need you. I need to be baptized by you. Yet you come to me? And here Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. So John agreed. He consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, when he went up out of the water, at that moment, heaven opened and he saw a spirit of God descending down like a dove, come on, lighting and shining on him. And this is the part that I want you to hear, because we're in a parenting series, right? I want you to hear God the Father and what he says in that moment. It's this voice from heaven and it says, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Well, good morning, church. It is so good to be with you today, in God's word today, in worship today. I want to welcome you here today. I saw some people back I hadn't seen in a while, and it is good to see you back here with us. I know it's been a crazy year and a half, and so Stafford, good morning and welcome. Hey, at the same time, Pastor Andrew, Fredericksburg, oh man, we love what God is doing down there. We welcome you as well. We can't wait to see what God's going to be and what God's going to do down there with you today. And then wherever you're watching online, we love that our ministry is not contained to just physical spaces, but goes beyond the walls here locally and literally around the world. So wherever you're watching from, let us know in the chat. Let us know. Shout out where you're watching from, especially if you're out of the Commonwealth of Virginia. We'd love to see where you're at today. Well, listen, we are in a parenting series called Kidding Me. And as we've been in the series, we're walking through scripture to see what God has to say to parents and how we're leading our kids. And man, what a year to be parent, right? Pandemic. Come on, who signed up for that one, right? And yet we're trying to lead. We're trying to love and lead. But anytime you preach a series that seems focused on something, you always think, oh, is somebody going to feel left out of this series? You know, if you're not a parent or not a parent yet, are you going to feel like, oh, this is not really for me? Listen, don't believe it. Matter of fact, we had a single guy come last week, and because he comes from some broken past, it's in the fracture of family that opened his heart to his need in his life. And last week, come on, he heard the good news and he said, I need to give my life to Jesus. Listen, you don't have to have kids for God to do a work in your heart. This is word. This is the word that God has for us. Now, not only are we in a parenting series today, come on, it's baptism day. I love Baptism Day. There's something about when people show courage to say, I am unashamed. I want to go public. I want my friends. I want my family. I want my world to know that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. Come on, all Christians in the room, do you remember when you were baptized? Remember that moment? Remember who was in your life? Remember just how that celebrated? I was 14 when I trusted Christ and when God found me and saved me, and I loved my baptism day. Matter of fact, I share with you, my family weren't churchgoers, but my mom, my sisters, they came on that day to watch me get baptized that day. And so there's something about Baptism Day. Now, why am I setting it up like that? Because guess what? There's a few people in here with some blue shirts that are going to share their story in a few minutes at one of your campuses. But who knows? Maybe today, we're a church that's 4-1 more. Maybe today there's someone that needs to take that step of faith. And maybe you're a Christian already. You've already trusted and believed, and that is what saved you. But when we get baptized, we are obeying the word of God, and we're doing something that Jesus, the Son of God, also did too. And when we get baptized, oh man, it pleases God. And what if today you've trusted Christ, but you've never taken that step to go public? Today could be your day. Now listen, as we lean in together, we're looking at parenting challenges, and we're going to look at that a little bit closer before we go to baptism. But here's today, the subject of today is the theme of encouragement. Come on, who could use some encouragement today? Encouragement is awesome. I mean, we want to have environments of encouragement. We want our families to be encouraging. Matter of fact, if you're raising kids, kids need encouragement. Encouragement is oxygen for the soul. We all need it, no matter how old we are or how young we are. But this theme that we're talking about today is how we often lavish upon our kids praise. We recognize things, we compliment every move, we affirm every trait imaginable. And if you're a little older than this generation, maybe you didn't grow up in a time frame and stage and age where that was common. There's actually been a gigantic shift in the last 50, 75 years of just the purpose and the kind of the surrounding of families. And maybe you're here old enough to realize that I didn't grow up in a family where the kids were the center of everything. That's kind of a newer phenomena in what we're doing. And maybe you say, I grew up in a family where we didn't hear a lot of praise. We didn't hear a lot of I love you. It was rare. Now, when we heard it, oh man, it was gold, but it wasn't frequent. Matter of fact, just to see kind of what generation I'm talking to today, and just not even generationally, because it could even be the kind of dynamic of your family. Both campuses, real quick, participate with me. How many of you grew up in a family that was all about encouragement and love and building up? Listen, you can't think of a day where your parents weren't saying, I love you, and trying to encourage you. How many of you, that was your experience? Come on, some of y'all, that was you. That was you. Good. A lot of hands in this hour. That's awesome. Now, how many of you, some of you that are parents in the room, are going, my kid didn't raise their hand. I mean, how many of you, come on, older people in the room, how many of you would say, my testimony wasn't that? I grew up in a time frame, or I grew up in a family that didn't heap on a lot of words, a lot of I love yous, and that's just kind of how we grew up. How many of that was you? That was you. Oh man, a lot more hands with that one, okay? So again, we're all there. But somehow the pendulum has shifted, and we've come to this place where now we want to give a ton of praise, and I'm not sure we have the real feedback yet if we're doing good or not with all that. Hello, what is he preaching on today, right? And so as we lean in together today, like I've done the last few weeks, I want us to look at the affirmation we give, because maybe this might be a little controversial for someone today. And like I've done the last few weeks, I've titled the message with the problem or the challenge that we're addressing today. And here's today's message title. We praise the wrong thing. We praise the wrong thing. Now, already I can feel the pushback here at Stafford. Come on, Fred. Are y'all with me today? Listen, I know the confusion you're thinking to yourself. Well, what do you mean, Pastor, praise the wrong thing? What do you mean? You're telling me it's bad for me to tell my kid they're smart? Are you telling me it's bad to tell my kid you're beautiful? You mean it's bad for me to tell my kid they're gifted? Yeah, I might mean that. Why would I say it that way? Now, stay with me just for a minute. Let me give you two reasons where I feel like our praise kind of leaves the trail. Is when that's the only compliments that our kids are given, that could be a problem, and here's why. Problem number one, when we only praise the outside, right? When we only praise what's visible on the outside, and let me give it a little bit more definition here. When we praise and we focus on the fixed things that our kids already have. They've already been given an intelligence. They've already been given a look. They've already been given kind of some talents, some gifts and some talents. So when we only focus on what God gave them, that actually might get them into trouble. Now, stay with me just for a little longer, because as we think about this, no, I'm not saying you can't compliment your daughter and tell her she's beautiful, but let's not forget God gave her that beauty, and she probably got some DNA from you and your wife too, so there's some contribution there, right? And so in this theme of only looking at the outside could reinforce the things that your kids have absolutely no control over. And that's what we're celebrating about them. We only focus on the outside. We teach our kids that the name of the game is just how you look on the outside. And guess what happens? They might get to a place where they don't want to risk because they don't want to lose how people actually see them. Listen, this kind of praise can actually diminish motivation. It can create insecurity, and it can increase narcissism, because we begin to create kids who are preoccupied with themselves instead of looking to others and empathizing with others. So the question is, what are we trying to build up in our kids? Something that's already given to them? Or what are they going to do with what's been given to them? Think about this one. We're all trying to motivate our kids. We're all trying to motivate our kids. I thought back to an older story that seems a little less harmful today because my kids are getting older. My oldest daughter is married and lives out in Kansas. Her husband's an Apache pilot, and she's living on base right now, and he's deployed. And so I can pick on Hannah for a minute. Hannah, you don't watch this anyway. But when Hannah was about 5 years old, she's about 5 years old. She's got a good church. She goes to a church. Come on, y'all. She is kind of like her dad. Kind of a little bit high strung, kind of a little type A, kind of like hard charger. I spent more energy as a parent trying to hold her back than let her go, right? Anybody got a kid like that? And so we signed her up because I think playing a team sport is some lessons in life where you learn how to get along and work with others and work toward a common goal. And so we put her in soccer at age 5. Come on, that's always a good starting sport, right? And as we put her in soccer, I'm ready to see my hard-charging daughter have some success, right? Because she's representing us out there. Couple games into the season, I'm going, what's she doing? She's like picking dandelions out there. She ain't doing nothing. I'm like, come on, babe, come on. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to give her some motivation. I'm going to incentivize this. Because that's what we like to do sometimes, parents, right? And I'm going to motivate her with some extrinsic motivation. So I sat her down and said, babe, come on, Hannah. This next game, if you score a goal, I'm going to buy you a Barbie. She said, Malibu Barbie? I said, we'll get whatever Barbie you want. If you just get out there and you play hard and you score that goal for your team. I'm telling you, I must have lit a fire, because as soon as the game started, she went coast to coast with the soccer ball and scored. I mean, I'm going crazy as a dad. I'm like, I've done it, right? I mean, listen, as the game continued, she didn't just score one. She didn't score two. She scored 3 goals. And I'm thinking at this time, finally, the light bulb's gone off. She now understands the game. She now knows how to play. And she runs by after she scores that third, and she screams out for everybody to hear. She said, Dad, that'll be 3 Barbies. Now, when the game was over, I sat her down, and we did go to the store, and we got those 3 Barbies. And then I said to her, babe, listen to me, Hannah. Now that you know how to play the game, there's not going to be any more Barbies. Now I need you to play for your team and for your teammates. And she looked at me all kind of swelled up. She said, okay, Dad. Do you know she didn't score another goal the rest of the season? Listen, parents, when we try to motivate our kids, listen, we focus on the outside. We might get some temporary outcome, but I'm here to tell you, you want to change your kids? You got to lead them from where? On the inside. We get this. We know this, right? Come on, parents. We got to affirm. We got to motivate them. The things that they actually have control over. That's where we want to encourage, right? It can show up and be visible on the outside, but God wants to begin where? On the inside. We got to affirm what? Effort when we see it. We got to affirm good behavior when it does show up. We got to affirm character when it makes itself known. We got to show empathy when our kids care for someone else. Man, celebrate the dog out of that one. We got to celebrate the virtues that we know are going to make them amazing human beings that are going to be building the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me today? That's what we got to try to inspire and lead and guide, but it happens inside their hearts. Come on, you don't believe me? Look at what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 23. He's trying to correct these religious people. And here's what he has to say to them on that day. Verse 25, Jesus once said to this, "Woe, woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of your cup and the dish, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees," come on, "first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean." Come on, where does God look? Where does Jesus look? Where does the Holy Spirit look? He looks at the inside. Matter of fact, some discipleship anchors for us as parents have been these. One I stumbled upon just a few days ago because I'm reading through the Old Testament, trying to get through the Bible again in a year. And I ran into 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And it says this about how God looks. It says, "People look at the outward appearance, but not the Lord. The Lord looks at the heart." Come on. He looks at the heart, right? And this is written about David. That's going to become the second king of David. Come on. He was known as a man after God's own heart, right? There's something about the heart. Another verse I tried to teach my daughters early, Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart," right? "For everything flows from it." Man, it's so valuable to not open your heart to everybody. You got to guard it. You got to know what God's leading and doing. Here's another verse for my girls, right? Being a parent of daughters. Come on, dads of daughters. Your 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. "Your beauty should not come just from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes. No, rather it should be that of your inner self, unfading beauty of a gentle spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." The Bible tells us that when God takes up residence in us, the Holy Spirit starts to birth some things in our life, and it's called the fruit that begins to be seen from the inside coming out. And if you know what Paul writes about the fruit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Parents, we're training this to come out of our kids, and this is what God's put in them. We want to bring it out of them. It happens on the inside. Y'all with me yet? All right, here we go. Number two, another challenge that parents fall into is parents' praise doesn't match their performance. We live in a world of hyperbole. "You're awesome. You're excellent. You're the best," right? It's the world we live in. But when we give our kids these words all the time to things that are already just expected of them, it kind of loses its luster. There's some things your kids should be doing because they're growing up in responsibility. Listen, if your kid's a teenager, you shouldn't have to praise them for brushing their teeth anymore. You shouldn't have to praise them for taking a shower anymore or cleaning their room or going to the bathroom. You might praise them if they actually use the spray in the bathroom. That's another sermon. But listen to me. We fill our lives trying to build, trying to praise. And I wonder sometimes if we actually hurt our kids with all the hyperbole that we give them when we tell them that you're awesome. You're the best musician. You're the best athlete in the world. You're the best singer in the world. And then they get on American Idol and discover in front of the entire world that their mom and dad were liars. And then all the praise that you give them was actually now hollow because it didn't have truth behind it. I wonder if we think we have to pick our kids up and we praise things that actually don't lead them to good conclusions. Praise becomes hollow. Listen, praise is like supply and demand. And I wonder if we're heaping it on with such supply that demand has also decreased. Without thinking, I wonder if we try to pick our kids up when they're having a fearful moment or pick our kids up when they're being apathetic, we pour on flattering remarks just to try to push them and move them. And maybe we might get some immediate change, but it doesn't last because it's not connected to their heart. Listen, we got to learn how to find ways to give words that steer our kids in right directions. And when I think about what we ought to be recognizing, you ought to praise God when your kid shows honesty in a tough situation. You ought to praise God and praise your kid when they make a good decision when it would have been easier to make a wrong decision. You got to praise God and praise your kids when it's based on truthfulness and it's focused on the deeper things that are going to last and stand the test of time. Parents, you want to build trust with your kids, then give them encouragement, but may it match the moment so that they'll keep listening to you as a teenager. They'll keep listening to you as a young adult because they know they can trust you and your guidance in their life. Now you're thinking, well, Pastor, this is kind of odd. You talked, we're going to do a parenting series, and you started with Jesus' baptism, and then you kind of shifted to this, and now I'm thinking, where are we going? Well, listen, I opened today's sermon with Jesus' baptism because I think God the Father models something for us that could be imitated as parents here on earth, that we could imitate God the Father too, and this could be a difference maker in our kids' lives. So let's go back to that baptism story in Matthew chapter 3. Now, let me just go ahead and remind you that Jesus was baptized around 30 years of age. So he'd already lived about 30 years of life with mom and dad, brothers, sisters, right? He had family. But then now at 30, he steps forward and takes this step that the scriptures had talked about, and he's fulfilling the word of God. If you know anything about Jesus, he often said, I didn't come down here to do my will, but I came here to do the will of my Father. John 6:38, I came to do the will of my Father. Not my will, but your will, God. So not only is he taking a step by being baptized, he's obeying God the Father, but it's also kind of his introduction to the world as he begins his public ministry. What's recorded for us in the Bible is the next 3 years of him being public with his life in front of the world before he hits the destination of the cross. Now, why is that significant? Because I think there's some things here that we could unearth today that could help us as we're trying to lead as imperfect parents. Let's just go ahead and get it all out there in a minute. We already said this once, but maybe you're new here today. Your kids are not perfect, and they're being raised by a mom and dad that's not perfect either. We need that grace that only God can give us, so that when we do fall short, it gives us what we need to keep getting back up and to keep leading. But what I love about the baptism story is how God the Father responds. Look at verse 17 again. I want you to see this again. It says, this audible voice was heard from heaven, and it said, this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Can I quickly tell you three things that is present at Jesus' baptism, three things that happen I think this can be helpful, so I hope you're a note taker today. Number one is this, is that at Jesus' baptism, the Father was actually present. Now that's key there, because parents, the greatest praise we can give our kids is showing up and being present. There's something about that move, because parenting is relational. And if you're absent, it hurts. We grow up by showing our kids that we love them. It's a relationship of love. And how do we spell love? Come on, spell it for me. T-I-M-E. Isn't that interesting, but isn't that true? And I know this is hard, preaching this to a culture that deploys, and there's sometimes gaps in the parenting. And I'm not saying you're absent when you're away, but how do you stay engaged even from afar? I know that gets challenging. And then when you are home, how do you stay present when you're in moments with kids? We know it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to lose moments. But listen, the God the Father was there on the day Jesus got baptized, and he was present. And more than words, the best thing you can give your kids is yourself. Number two, the Father actually confirms identity. He confirms Jesus' identity. Now, why is that key? Because identity is who you are. I think all of us are always trying to define ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? And God's wanting to tell us who we are, and that's exactly what he does for Jesus here. He confirms his identity. He says, what? He says, this is my son. He's showing the connection, the relationship. I think how interesting it is that we live in a culture where so many of us are defining our lives by our past. Too many times we make mistakes. Come on, who am I talking to online right now? We've made mistakes, and we let those mistakes define who we are, and we get stuck in that. And thinking we're never going to be anything different than that decision. I'm just here to tell you that's not what the good news says. But how many of us today are striving, and what happened for us is that we're trying to find our lives, our personalities in our jobs. How many of us, that's the first thing that we do when we introduce ourselves to people, is we tell people what we do. And I'm not saying that's not a part of who we are, but it can't be the sole person of who you are. And too often we try to let our jobs define our lives and give us our ultimate identity. And how many times does that lead us to dark places? And then if it's not our past, if it's not our job, maybe it's our fears in our lives. Man, we just came out of a year and a half of just a lot of fear. The truth of the matter is we were living in just as much uncertainty before COVID. We just, most of us didn't realize it. But all of a sudden, COVID put a face on uncertainty and fear. And how many people have been limited in life because of the fear of the last year and a half? Can I tell you, your fear cannot be your greatest identity. It can't. It can't. Listen, how many of us right behind job would be the possessions that we own? We think if I can just arrive, if I can just get in that zip code, if I can just get in that neighborhood, if I can just live in that certain house, if we can just have those certain cars, it's like all these things to try to define if your life matters or not. And I'm here to tell you, there is no possession that will ever make you feel that secure. But how many of us fall into that trap of trying to let things define our lives? And then sometimes it's in our broken places that we choose wrong decisions to try to feel something different or feel something more, and we might look to a substance and we find ourselves now in an addiction, or we look to a person to try to be our savior. How many people do I sit with that are in wrong relationships and say, I'd rather be in a wrong relationship than be alone and be in no relationship? You see, these decisions, when we use false things to define our lives, we find ourselves in workaholism or materialism or addiction or codependent relationships. And all these things, we're trying to let them tell us who we are. Can I just push back for a minute and say, Jesus wants to be the one to tell you who you are. And God is the one who told Jesus who he is. He said, this is my son. Listen, we said this a lot in the last few years. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Doing flows out of identity. Do you realize that when Jesus gets this message from God, he has not preached a sermon yet? He has not drawn crowds together. He's not fed the 5,000 yet. He's not even done a miracle yet. But see, his identity is not linked to that. His identity is linked to the fact that I am the Son of God, and I'm coming for a mission that's greater than me. Come on, does that speak to somebody today? How do we, as parents, confirm identity for our kids? Listen, what happens on the inside matters. Last thing here, number three. The father affirms the relationship. I can just picture God like this with that big button. Jesus, come on the button. My boy. Come on. Don't you know how proud God was of Jesus, the Son? And yet, he puts these words. He says, this is my Son whom I love. It's a relational word. And he doesn't even stop there. He ends with praise. Whom I'm pleased. So good. It's so good. Why? Because he affirms that this thing's about a relationship. And that's what we got to lead with. That's what we got to lead from. God is relational. That's what we got to see here today. And not only that, God's not afraid to say, I love you. He's not afraid to show, I love you. And God's praise is perfect. Is that not good news today? But here we are as imperfect parents, coming into a holy moment with God. God's word shining upon our lives. And we're having to ask the question, what does my praise sound like in my kids' ears? Or better yet, what does my praise do to my kids' hearts? And maybe today God's showing you that you focused on some things that need to go a little deeper. You can't just focus on what God's given to them, which that's fair to acknowledge. But you got to go back to what they actually have some responsibility over, some control over. And we got to celebrate. We got to lead. We got to teach. We got to train from that place that's going to be a game changer in their life and their faith. But maybe in a message like this, we all get a little bit nostalgic and we start thinking about our own upbringing. And there was a lot of hands that went up to say, I didn't grow up in an encouraging family. I didn't grow up where I heard a lot of praise. I didn't grow up in a place that said, I love you a lot. And so many times I meet people as adults and they've been impacted because of the lack of love that they grew up with in their family and their home. Now, I've often said my family put the D in dysfunction because I grew up in a divorced family like some of yours. My mom's been married 7 times, my dad 3 times. That's my family. We had a lot of changes always happening in our life. The one constant thing that didn't change is we never had to move because my mom and my sisters, we always stayed there in my house. I always wonder, God, why did you do that for me? But y'all know my story. God found me and rescued me through my neighbor and their invitation to me, to Jesus. Now, I grew up in a family that was broken, but I'll say this, honestly, I grew up in a family that was still loving. I did hear, I love you a lot. I did have a lot of affection. I didn't lack for that, even though there was some things in my life that created some confusion in my head and my heart about family. But many of you know this, if you don't grow up with your human father in your home, man, it can do a number on you. We call it daddy issues, right? I'd be lying if I didn't say I had some of that, because you know what? I don't have an early memory of ever living in the same house with my dad, ever. He left before I could even remember. He was weekend dad for a lot of years, until my 6th grade year, until he moved out of state, out of Texas, and he moved up to Kansas. And then he became summer dad for a few weeks and every other Christmas dad. Y'all know how that goes, right? And when you don't have that, you long for that more. And y'all know, many of y'all know, this last year I lost my dad. And I praise God for the tragedy of 4 years ago because that was a game changer for me and my dad. God gave us a second chance to put some things back together, to connect at a level of soul to soul. And when he did pass, yeah, there's earthly sorrow, but there's no regret. Some of you, that's not your testimony. Your parent maybe passed before you ever got that full circle moment. So I feel that for you today. But here's the good news. even if your earthly parents failed you, praise God, we got a Heavenly Father that can fill in the gap for us. Praise God. That He knows how to show up and He knows how to give us the grace and the mercy that we need so that we can keep moving forward with Him. Who does that speak to today? I'm going to invite the worship teams to come back up at both places, and we are going to do some baptisms, but I started thinking about this as we all kind of lean in and evaluate our lives and our families' lives. It's easy to get harsh and judgmental about maybe what we deserved and what we didn't receive, but I want us to get to a posture again of looking back to God the Father and saying, what do I need in this moment? And I'm convinced today that we're an inviting church that's always inviting people to come and to be a part, that just maybe today there's somebody here with me at Stafford. There's somebody down at our Fredericksburg campus. There's somebody right now watching us online that maybe it's through the brokenness of the past that finally reveals the need that you have in your life. And what if today could be your day of saying yes and trusting Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Could that be you? You see, to understand what salvation is to know that it's not about our good works or good behavior. It's not about religion. It really is about the grace that's found in Jesus alone. Matter of fact, if there's a verse that I come back to like to remind ourselves of what grace is all about and what salvation is all about, here's what I would declare over us today. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says this in verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through," what's that word there? Faith. It is grace, you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. But it doesn't stop there. It's not by works, so that no one could boast. But when you are saved, you're now God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You see how that works? Listen, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism shares outwardly that Jesus Christ is Lord of you, and it says that I'm doing something that Jesus, the Son of God, did too, and I'm obeying Scripture. And I love the best part, I'm pleasing God when I get baptized. And just like God was pleased when Jesus did it, He's pleased when any of His sons and daughters are willing to take that step of faith. Now, I know there's been some movement in this service here already, and people in blue shirts got up because we've got a few people in this hour already prepared, but I'm just not convinced that's all that's getting baptized today. I have sensed all week long that God needed me to give a clear path today for somebody in here that might even be in a senior year of their life, and yet you've already said yes to Jesus. You've already trusted and believed, but you have never taken that step. And you're like, oh, I should have did it when I was younger. I missed my moment. I'm now older. People know I've been a believer for a long time. Why should I do this now? Well, here's why. Because when you do it, you're obeying the Word of God, and you're pleasing God. Listen, teenager, you're pleasing God. When you get out of yourself and say, I want to show that I'm living the greater story. God found me and saved me, and I want the world to know. Listen to me, young adult. Come on, young parent. It's what God's invitation is. He's saying, come and follow me. Well, that step of baptism is following Jesus. Now, I know I'm already pushing back, and I can feel it because you're thinking, I didn't come prepared today like those people did. And you would be right there. You weren't prepared, but guess what? God was. And guess what? He got our church prepared. We're ready. We're ready. You're like, oh, no, Pastor. I didn't come ready. I didn't bring clothes and a towel. Well, guess what? Good news. I'm not giving you a Barbie, but I do have a T-shirt that you can go home with after this moment that will mark this memory forever. I've got T-shirt. I've got shorts. I've got underwear. I've got lotion for those ashy legs. I've got product if that's that time for you. Listen, I got it all. I don't want anything to be an excuse. I don't want pride to get in the way. I don't want an excuse to get in the way of you being simply faithful to the Lord. It's time to take a step. It's time to take a step. Listen, you might be here and go, oh, my family's not here today. Can I tell you something awesome about the Mount? We've got an amazing tech team that's ready to capture this moment. So as soon as your moment's done, we're gonna give you a link and you're gonna get to share this with everyone and everyone in your life. And they're gonna get to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord over you. Come on, Fredericksburg, is that not good today? We're ready for this. We're ready for this. I know. Oh, Pastor, I'll do it later. But how come later's never happened yet? You can keep putting it off, but I like to say delayed obedience is disobedience. If God's clearly talking to you, come on. Take a step. Please God today with obedience today. I can feel it. Somebody says, oh man, woo, my heart's beating because I know God's wanting me to do this. And I'm like, oh, who's gonna help me do this? I talked to a young man today, Elijah's getting baptized today. We got two rows here ready to celebrate, right? Elijah's about to get baptized today. I love it. He knew coming in, he was gonna go public. You're here today, your heart's beating fast. Who's gonna help me? Listen to me. Maybe there's somebody that you've been coming to worship with that you could say, I need to do this. Will you go out there with me and help me get this done? Listen, maybe it's parents baptizing kids. Maybe it's kids baptizing a mom or a dad. That could happen today, and that could be amazing. What if it's a husband baptizing a wife, or a wife, a husband, or a small group leader? I got pastors out there if you can't find anyone. And listen, I'll just go ahead and say this right now. Come on, I'm going to go Top Gun on them, Andy. You ready for that? Y'all know Top Gun? Come on. I know it was supposed to come out this year and it didn't come out, but listen, I'm gonna give you some Top Gun. Remember at the end of the movie, Maverick's lost his confidence, right? Y'all know this part? And he goes to his commander. Y'all know his commander, right? Let's just call him Viper because that was his call name, right? He goes to Viper's house and he's having this conversation, and Viper says what to Tom Cruise? Come on, what did he say to Maverick? If you can't find anyone to fly, what did he say? I'll fly with you. Listen, can I just tell somebody today? Maybe you're like, I don't know who could baptize me. Pick me. I'll fly with you today. I'm gonna get on this front row and start singing this last song. If you need me to baptize you, man, I'm ready. Call me in. I'll fly with you today because God doesn't want you to wait another day. Today is the day. It's time to move. Come on, both campuses, bow your heads and your hearts. Father God, I just believe right now, Holy Spirit, you're speaking. But the greatest commitment we can make today, if we're not a Christian, is to realize that we are loved by you. Today you chose us to give us a new identity, a new purpose, new meaning. And today, if somebody needs to trust and believe, then right here today, they need to open their heart to you. They need to pray and ask Jesus into their life. And today, they too can be saved. But God, today, somebody has been saved, but they have not taken this step. And I am convinced today is the day at Fredericksburg. Today is the day at Stafford. And I believe somebody's watching online and they're local and they think, well, I'm glad I'm watching from home today. Listen, if you live near Stafford or Fredericksburg, we got one more opportunity for you. Get in the car, get there, and get this done today. And watch what God will do over your life today. Holy Father, I don't know who you're gonna lead to move in this moment, but I pray for the one that's gonna take a step of faith today through water baptism. God, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Come on, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wanna lead you to move. I sometimes ask you to raise a hand, but right now, you're gonna have to walk out of this room to get baptized. So I'm gonna ask you right now in faith, I'm gonna count to three. If you're the one today that's getting baptized with this crew of people today, I just want you to stand up for a minute. Come on, right now, one, two, three right now. Stand up. That's me, Pastor. I need to get baptized today. Anybody here today? Anybody in this moment today? Well, here's what we're going to do because I can't make you do it. Come on, move. Right here. Go out these doors right here. If it's you today, just walk out these doors. You don't have to say anything. Just get up. Find the person you want to help you. Say, help me do this today. I need to do this today. Go right now. As we sing this final song, as the Spirit prompts, not the pastor, but as the Spirit prompts, you make your way out there and you nail this down today. Let's please the Lord today. Father, thank you for what you spoke in our lives today. May we be the men, the women, the parents that you're calling us to be. Thank you for being a perfect heavenly Father. Lead us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, stand up.